This is Crescent Project Radio, bringing you powerful testimony, practical teaching, and exciting truth about God's miraculous movement in the Muslim world, and how we as Christians can join Him in this kingdom work. Our goal is to see every Muslim have an opportunity to respond to the gospel and be connected to a true follower of Jesus. You can find us online at crescentproject.org. Have a comment or question? Email them to radio@crescentproject.org. We would love to hear from you and have a chance to respond on a future program.
Hi, I'm Rashida, and you're listening to Crescent Project Radio, where we believe we have a hope worth sharing. Today's guest is a Pakistani woman who was just about to give her life in jihad when Jesus began to reveal himself to her. I read her memoir, Defying Jihad, earlier this year, and I could hardly put the book down. Her story is unique and so powerful, and I'm excited to have the opportunity to interview Esther Ahmad today. Esther, welcome to Crescent Project Radio.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity so I can be here.
Wonderful. So growing up in Pakistan, what were the most important lessons that your parents and teachers taught you about Islam? How were you taught to view your faith?
Growing in Pakistan, it was even from childhood, my mom and dad, they taught us that, you know, who we are first thing, that we are Muslim. So every child, when they're child born, so the parents, the first thing is they do azan in the ear. Azan is like they call a call from every mosque. They have five times in a day. So that is declared that the person who born is a Muslim. And also my parents, they raised me. They said, you know, you born a Muslim and we're going to die as a Muslim. That is our responsibility. And they said, we are above every other, you know, religion and nations. So this is how they raised me. And also, even very young age, I start offering prayer because I saw my mom. She was offering, you know, five time prayers. My father, earlier he was not like very religious, but later on he turned it in the same way. And my, even in schools or when we were learning about Quran, also we learned the same thing, that Islam is a superior religion in all over the world. And that is a favorite of God, and the Christians, they are bad, and the Jews are bad because they did some editing in their books, which when God sent to them.
Yes. So you also said in the book that you got a chance to go deep in your study of Islam in school. You actually went to a madrasa. Can you talk a little bit about what you were taught about Christianity?
Yes, ma'am. Actually, my father earlier, he was really like Western style, but later on, and my mom, she was actually more like Muslim side. So she taught me how to read Quran and also five time prayers. And she was the one who sent me in English medium school because my mom, she was running a boutique, and one of the customers, she said to her, your daughter is so brilliant and she liked to learn. So why not she can go to English medium school? My mom, she was happy. She sent me there. Then later on, when I started going there, I was very happy. But when I finished my grade fifth, my father, he joined Islamic Jamaat. That is a political organization in Pakistan. And they are deeply, deeply rooted with the terrorist groups. So when he joined that, he was totally a different person. He started growing beard. And then also he said to my mom to wear, according to our culture, full sleeves clothes and wear the veil, these kind of things. So he stopped my school and he said, English is infidel language and we have no need to learn that. If you want to learn everything or if you still want to continue your education, so you have to go in government schools to learn in Urdu, which is our native language, or you have to learn everything in Arabic, which is Allah's language.
Right. And so what were some of the things that you were taught about the West and about Christianity?
So my father, he sent me one of the Jamaat school, and there they actually, in very young age, I was in grade six. So when they start showing, like kind of one time they said, we want to take you to the field trip. And they took us there, but it was a really good field trip. They took us to Minare Pakistan, which is Pakistani, you know, history icon.
This is Crescent Project Radio, bringing you powerful testimony, practical teaching, and exciting truth about God's miraculous movement in the Muslim world, and how we as Christians can join him in this kingdom work. Our goal is to see every Muslim have an opportunity to respond to the gospel and be connected to a true follower of Jesus. You can find us online at crescentproject.org. Have a comment or question? Email them to radio@crescentproject.org. We would love to hear from you and have a chance to respond on a future program.
And then later on, the next field trip was, which was, I think, after a month or two. So that one was in a big hall, and they showed us all kind of like hand grenades, and then they showed us some movie clips and some of the people's picture who were beaten by the Western people. This is what they claim. So they said, these are the Muslim people, the Western people, Christians and Jews, they have killed over these people. They have tortured over these people. So we have to take revenge from them. So even this, that young age, they were teaching, and when they were giving the speech, it was kind of, they are doing emotional to us, and that we want to do something. They said, now you have to take revenge of these, our brothers and sisters. So this is what they showed us, that these are the tools Allah has given us, like hand grenade and then AK-47 or small pistols and bullets, these kind of things. They were like, it was just like an exhibition to show to all small kids.
Wow. Yeah, that's a really young age to be exposed to those types of ideas. So they were basically sort of preparing you to consider jihad.
Yep.
So what led you as a bright young woman to want to volunteer for jihad?
It's a sad story. Actually, before I born, my mom and dad, they had two daughters. So for a third time, they were so badly expecting a baby boy. But fortunately, I born a girl. And he was so unhappy with my mom, and he didn't come 3 days to see my mom even. And he didn't come to see my face. And he was not willing to give me a name. So later, in those 3 days, God really blessed my father a lot. And then he finally came after 3 days, and he looked at my face, and then he gave me name Zahira, which meaning is actually a lot of blessing and get a lot of things. So he said, she brought a lot of money for me and a lot of business. So he gave me this name. When I was growing up, and wherever I was going, in any birthday party or wedding parties, people always look at me and start talking. And they say, oh, this was a girl father didn't look at for 3 days. Look, she's growing. Or sometimes, oh, this was a daughter father didn't look at. Look, she's pretty. Everything start with those things. And it was just like someone is holding a knife and poking in my heart emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
I was not a girl by myself. It was God who made me girl. I was very upset with these kind of things. And growing in that pain, I said, what to do? There was only two things I could do. One was my education. When I'm reading or writing, I totally forget anything. Or the other thing was when I'm, offering prayers. So in very young age, I start offer 5-time prayer. And then later on, I start 8 times in a day. Usually Muslims offer 5 times in a day, but I was offering 8 times. Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, Tahajjud, Jahr, and Ishraq. So these were the extra 3 prayers to get more points, as Islam is an all-point system.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing that. And that was the thing actually led me to go to jihad. Then when I finished my grade 8, so my father, he said, you have no need to study anymore. Just help your mom to do household chores and just help her in boutique work. I said, no, I want to go for further education because I am a brilliant student. I always come first in my class. I was always number one. So my teachers, they were happy too. I said, no, I want to continue my study. He said, no, what are you going to do after getting a lot of education also? So you still have to do household chores, cooking for your husband or taking care of your kids and doing the house, whatever chores are pending. That's what your duty going to be, even here or after marriage. I said, no, I want to do. He said, no, you're not going to do any kind of jobs. I said, please let me continue my study. I really want to go there. So then finally, he was agree for that only because of one of the Jamaat leader, he said, and then only he allowed me to go for high school. And then he said, okay, if you're going to go for high school, you have to join Islamic Jamaat. And then also, you have to, follow everything what they are teaching you. And Islamic teaching is first. I said, I will do that. And then he said, you're going to put your veil on your face. I said, I will do that also. And I just, because I want to go for education. And that was the time when I joined them officially as their member. And then I started going there. And every week, two times, they were doing this kind of Bible study. But they are doing reciting the Quran and preaching about Islam. It's called Daras. So they were doing Daras in our home weekly twice. And then one day when they were giving call, first time when they gave a call, they said, whoever give his or her best thing to Allah, Allah will give his best to that person. So I made a very beautiful dress with the help of my mom. I was waiting to wear. And that dress I gave to one of the widow lady. I said, this is for your daughter because I want to get the best from Allah. Although he didn't give me that time anything best, but today I believe he still accept my that offering. And he really gave me his best, his begotten son, Jesus Christ, on his timing in my life. Mm-hmm. Then one day they gave a call for, he said, whoever will give his or her life for Allah, Allah will repay back fully, and that person will go straight in heaven. And also the mother and father of that child will go straight in heaven. And also how many Christian and how many Jew you're going to give, the reward will be much bigger. So that was... Then I raised my hand because I want to show my father, the girl you didn't accept, but you're going to go in heaven because of her. I raised my hand to be a jihadist. And they said, we will give you some training and then we will assign your place. But one thing, once you're going to leave home, you're not going to come back ever. So that was the time I moved forward toward jihad call.
So it was a lot about winning the heart of your father. And then also the promises of Allah's reward, a guaranteed ticket to heaven.
Yep, exactly.
So at that point, you were very religious. You were praying extra. You were reading the Quran and studying and all of these things. Did you have any peace? Did you feel like you knew that you were going to heaven for all these things that you were doing?
And no, even though I was offering 8 times prayer in a day, doing a lot of prayer beads, Islamic prayer beads, still there was no peace in my heart. It was still like, you know, it's not going to help me. And sometime I had this kind of, you know, uncertain feeling, unhappy feeling still. So this was, even though I was going to do this a big thing, I was offering the prayer, but still I said, I don't know whether Allah is going to accept me or not. So one day when early in the morning, when I 3:30 wake up to offer the Hajjud prayer, this prayer carries more rewards, so that's why I like to do that. And as I wake up to offer my prayer, I found out I have menses, periods, which is usually the girls get. According to Islam, a woman who has menses or periods, she cannot offer any prayer. She cannot touch Quran. She cannot touch prayer mat. She is totally unclean. And according to Islam, Allah dislikes unclean people. He didn't like at all. So I felt very upset. I said, oh, this is really a wrong timing. I really want to spend a lot of time with Allah because he gave me life. And after a few days later, I will be no more. And I really want to spend time with Allah. Then I said, but still my tongue is clean. I still can talk with Allah sitting on the floor instead of on prayer mat. I sat on the floor and I start, you know, just talking with Allah. What was in my mind is only, I said, I mean, like Allah is on the throne. Sitting and then right hand side is the angels of heaven, and the left side is angels of hell, and I'm standing in between. And then I said, Allah, I'm just saying you gave me life, and I'm gonna give you back, and I'm gonna try as many Christian and as many Jews I could, you know. But still I was thinking, I'm unclean. If I'm gonna die unclean, I don't know whether Allah will accept or not. And I said, if Allah will still say to the angels of hell, take Zakhira and throw into hell, what will happen? This question came, and then I said, no, I don't want to do like that. I said to myself, I will run faster. I will hold Allah's feet. I said, please have mercy on me because you created me and I did what you want. After this, I fell asleep in a deep sleep. I got a dream, and in my dream, I'm in a graveyard. Everywhere is darkness. I'm looking a way to come out from that graveyard. And I'm very unhappy. I say, I don't want to stay in that darkness. I don't want to stay in this, deadly place. Everybody's dead. And then I saw one light appear. That light has arms, face, and legs like a human body. And I'm wondering about the light. As I was wondering about the light, he called me. He said, come and follow me. I said, no, I don't want to follow you. Second time, he said, Esther, come and follow me. I said, my name is not Esther. My name is Zahir Ahmed. So I said, I don't want to follow you. So third time, he said, my daughter, come and follow me. Third time, I didn't deny. I just thought in my mind, I said, why this light man is calling me again and again? What he want to show me? As I just thought it, it was like he has connection with my brain, what I'm thinking. And he started walk. As he walked, all the bushes removed, all the stones removed, and the light remained on the path. I said, wow, this man, light man is showing me the way to come out from this darkness and from this graveyard. I faster ran and followed that light man. And he stopped in one grave and he said to someone, come out. And I saw the dead person came out from the grave. I said to him, I said, who are you giving life to dead people? He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. These words, whole of my life growing in Islamic culture, in Islamic family, I never heard. I only learned from my mother and father, Christians are infidels, Jews are infidels. This is our duty to kill them from this earth to make this earth clean and pure. So I had no idea who is this light man calling me. Then I said, please help me to come out from this graveyard. I don't want to stay among dead people. And he held my hand. I was in an amazing, amazing place. It was all golden walls, and the floor was just like a crystal. And there was a natural light. There was no any tube light or bulb. So I said, wow, this is just nice for me. As I said this, suddenly I wake up. I was still in my room, sitting on the floor. I said, oh, what was this dream? It was so strange for me. I went back to bed, but I could not sleep afterward. Although there was like kind of, my body was feeling so light. But I could not understand what this light man. I start thinking who this light man was. This is not a good sign to see myself in a graveyard. This is not a good sign to see myself into darkness. But that is a good sign because Muslim people, they believe a lot on dreams. So I said, this is a good sign that light man came and he showed me the way and he took me out from that graveyard, from that darkness. And then I was thinking a lot. I said, why he said, I am the way and the truth and life. That is not even the angel. He has no wings behind him. And this was impossible for a Muslim to think that Allah can come to any ordinary person. Because Allah is so high, according to Islam, he never talked with ordinary people, only with his prophets. So I never thought that, my creator and my Lord Jesus can come to me. And after that, I went to my college. And one of the girl, she was from other class, but she was doing practical with me. So in same group. So she said, Zahira, what happened to you? You're not paying attention for your physics, this practical. She said, you love physics, right? I said, yeah, I love physics. But I don't know, this morning I had a dream and that really disturbed me a lot. So she said, what dream? I said, no, I don't want to share my dream with you because I read in Quran that when Joseph, he shared his dream, so he got troubled. So that's why we learn not to share with everyone. So I said, no, I don't want to share my dream with you. Then she said, can I pray for you? That was a very strange thing for me because Muslims, they never say, can I pray for you? Muslims say, oh, if you have this problem, do these prayer beads, it's going to help you. If you have this problem, offer this time prayer, it's going to help you. Everything have to do my own self if I'm in trouble. So they never carry each other burden. I said, what prayer? She said, I'm Christian, so whenever someone is upset or worried, we usually pray for that person. I said, I'm not Christian, I'm a Muslim. She said, I know, we can pray for Muslims too. I learned from my parents when I was young that Christians, they are doing black magic. I thought, oh, she's a Christian girl and she wanna do black magic on me. I said, no, I don't want any prayer, please, thank you. I said, if you're going to try black magic on me, it's not going to work. She said, no, I'm going to pray in our language. You're going to listen everything. You're going to understand it. I said, no, I don't want any prayer. But the next day she came in my class and then she gave me booklets, even though I denied. I said, no, I don't want to take those. But still she said, no, just read. If you don't like, you can give me back. And those books were How We Know God More and Gospel of Apostle John, and then one audio cassette with the four Gospels. I brought those in home, and then I suddenly thought, I said, one side, I'm going to give my life for Allah as a jihadist, and the other side, I'm going to read these corrupted books. I said, no, I should not do. I quickly torn out the books, broke the audio cassette, and threw away. By the third day, my mom, she was not feeling well. She had a tumor. She was on medication, because also it is in Islam, to a woman's body, only husband can touch. No any other male can touch her body. If any other male will touch, even doctors are not allowed to touch. If they are touching, so they are making her unclean. And on the day of judgment, that person is not going to go in heaven. So these kind of things, my mom, she also had. And she said, no, I don't want to go for operation. So it's good for me to just have medicines. So that day, my father, he told me not to go to college. And he said, take your mom to hospital. I said, okay. I took her to hospital. And there, John, he was working there when doctor suggests some test. I went there and I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. He looked at me because I was in veil, and he said, Salam. I got very unhappy. I said, why he didn't reply me in Islamic way? I went to him. I said, you didn't reply me in Islamic way. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I said, you're not a Muslim? But he said, thank God I'm a Christian. I said, oh. I said, why not you can come in Islam? He said, what your Islam can give me? I said, whatever you want, Islam can give you. He said, can your Islam give me salvation? I said, yes. He said, I think you didn't read your Quran. Go and read your Quran first. I said, no, I read many times. When I was young, I started reading that time. So he said, well, do you read in Quran, Surah Al-Ahqaf, verse 9, where Allah said to Muhammad, he said, قُلْ مَا كُنْتُمْ بِدَمِّنْ رَسُولِي وَمَا دْرَامَا يُفْعَلُوا بِي وَلَا بِكُمْ. The meaning is, Allah said, tell to your followers, I don't know what will happen with me and what will happen with you. I'm not new among messengers. I said, maybe he's a Christian. He made his own Quran to astray me. I said, can you write down this surah and verse for me? I'm going to go home and I'm going to check in my Quran. He said, well, I can write. He wrote for me. Then I said, if it is not same in my Quran, would you like to be a Muslim? He said, yes. And then he said,
and so just for our listeners, John was a Christian who worked at the hospital that you met that day.
Yes, he was the second person who encountered with me after that dream. And before this, I didn't meet any other Christian. So he was Christian guy. So he said, if it is same in your Quran, would you like to be a Christian? I said, no, because I cannot think even that. So he wrote for me. I came back home and I did ablution. And the first thing I checked in my Quran, it was same. That really disturbed me. I said, when the leader of Islam, Muhammad, did not know what will happen with him, what about others? There is no surety. There is no any promise. That was kind of strange for me. I said, I learned from the ulamas and from the mullahs that, only Muhammad can save us. But Muhammad himself cannot save his life. That was, I said, very upset. And that was the evening they're supposed to come and pick me up to take me for jihad training. I said to my mom, I'm not ready yet. I need some time. So I said, please, if you can call them and tell them I need some time. I want to know more about Islam first. And then she said, okay. But then meanwhile, I called back in hospital and I said to him, I said, I want to see you, John. He said, okay, I'm working in these days, so you can come and see me. So then next day I went, I told my mom, I'm going to pick your result. I went to him and I said to him, give me your book. I want to read your book. He said, don't say, give me your book. I want to read it. He said, our book called Holy Bible. Say, give me Holy Bible. I want to read. I say, okay, give me Holy Bible. I want to read that. And he said, okay. So he said, first tell me, did you read in your Quran? Was it the same? I honestly told, yes, it was same. Then he said, okay, it's better for you. First go back to your home and read your Quran, Hadith. Hadith is actually all the works and saying of Muhammad, whatever he has done and he ordered us to do. So he said, go and read your Quran, Hadith, historical books of Islam, and the life of Muhammad. Then come back. I promise I will give you Bible, because then only you will know what is there and what is here. I was so unhappy. I said, you're not giving me one, your only Holy Bible. I said, if you need one Quran, I will give only one call and 10 Qurans will be on your table. He said, well, this is a very common book. I know easily people can get. He said, but our Holy Bible is very precious. He said, everyone cannot get that. He said, did you see any bookstore here having this book? I knew I never heard about this. No, any Islamic shops, they have this book. And I said, yeah, I don't know. I didn't see this book. So he said, that's the thing, because very precious. Then I made my mind, I have to get that book at any cost. So then I came back home. I started reading Quran, Hadith, and historical books of Islam. And as I was reading more and more and deeply with the, you know, research point of view, I got more and more confused. And I start feeling I'm losing my faith. So I, one day I called John. I said, I'm feeling I'm losing my faith in Islam. He said, you're right. Now you come back, I'm going to give you Holy Bible. I said, okay. I felt very happy. I said, okay, I can go and get that. But when I went there, so he said, okay, you have to sit here and read. I said, no, I can't sit here and read. I have to take back my home and then I can read. He said, no, if you're going to take this book with you, your parents are going to ask a question. Who gave you this book? So he said, if you're going to tell my name, me and my whole family will be in trouble. So I said, okay, I won't tell your name. So he said, if you will not tell my name, my whole Christian community living in Pakistan will be in trouble. He said, you don't know how much they have already persecuted many, many Christians. They burned the communities, they burned the houses, they raped the girls, and they did all bad they could do. So then I said, okay, well, maybe I will come another time so then I can start reading. So then later on, I made a plan, and according to that plan, I started going. I told my mom, in my college, my practical has started. I need an extra 1.5 hour because half an hour from my college to his workplace and from his workplace to back in college, it was each side the 30 minutes, which means 1 hour. And I estimated 30 minutes to read Bible there. So this is how I started going there and start reading.
Wow. And so you began to move farther and farther away from Islam and closer to Christ. What did you discover in the Bible and how did you ultimately decide to follow Jesus?
Okay, so when I was reading the Holy Bible, the first thing when I started reading from Genesis, it made so much sense to me because Quran is like a jigsaw puzzle. So the things are here and there. You cannot fix that. So even if you want to make a picture in your mind, you can't make because still pieces are missing. Even when I was reading the from Quran, the story of Joseph, I could not find the full story. I read so badly I wanted to read. When you will read my book, so there is mention how I was asking the question about that. So this was a thing. When I start reading this, it was making so much sense, you know, how God created everything and how the prophets and everything was so in detail. When I read the name Esther, and also Joseph had a dream, and then Joseph's dream has some meaning, that really, I said, oh, this was the name Lightman called me. I asked John. So he said, what Lightman? I said, I don't know, but what one Lightman came in my dream, and he called me with this name. I shared my whole dream with him, and he was in tears. He said, praise the Lord, you're not here because of my efforts. You are here because of God's plan. He quickly opened the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, where Jesus Christ said, I am the way and the truth and the life. That day, I accepted Lord Jesus, my personal Savior. I said, Lord, I was so bad, girl. I was going to kill your people, but you came and saved my life. And not only my life, but my soul too. And that was the very moment, you know, but I start feeling like I'm a new person. That day, when I said the sinner's prayer after John, so I was coming back home. To me, it was looking like the trees are new, flowers are new, the leaves are new, roads are new, everything is new. I said, what is happening to me? It was so totally strange. I was overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord in my life.
Amen. That is so incredible. Just how God revealed himself to you and just how he took you from being so strong in Islam and ready to give your life for jihad and to bring you all the way into the kingdom.
That's why, you know, Rashida, this story is, you know, not my story, but the story of God's goodness, his mercy, his love. And you can see he's incredible God. That's why he made it incredible story.
Yes, Yes, he is an incredible God. So this is a good point for us to pause and end part one of our conversation. And so I'm just going to close us in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you so much for how awesome you are and how you see each one of us and you know just what we need. You knew exactly what it would take to bring Esther into your family. You knew the deep desires in her heart to belong and to be loved and accepted, Lord, and
yes,
and for truth, Lord God. And we thank you so much for her life, and we thank you for the lives of many people like her who have come into the kingdom out of Islam. Thank you for how you move in so many incredible ways to bring your children into your family, Lord God, and through dreams and visions and through courageous believers, Lord. I lift up believers in hard places like Pakistan, Lord, who put their lives on the line and risk so much to share, to let people read scripture, to pray for people and give them the Bible, Lord God, and to worship together as communities, Lord. And we just pray that you would strengthen the persecuted church in Pakistan.
Yes.
And that you would bless them, Lord God. And thank you so much for this conversation and for Esther's life. And we just pray your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rashida.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Crescent Project Radio. We believe we have a hope worth sharing. Learn more about Crescent Project online at crescentproject.org, where you can find all of our previous podcasts featuring testimonies from former Muslims, teaching and apologetics, interviews with ministry leaders and book authors, along with commentary on current events and ministry news. Email us your comments or questions to radio@crescentproject.org. Stay connected by subscribing to our bi-monthly email, Call to Prayer, which is focused on prayer for the Muslim world. We hope you'll join us again next time on Crescent Project Radio.